Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Now we go to a theatre dressing room now somewhere in the Midlands of England, because my next guest is perhaps the greatest Shakespearean actor of the age. You may know him for his Hamlet, his Lear, maybe his Iago. Some of you, on the other hand, will know him for his Gandalf. And weirdly, from next Wednesday, he's in Panto in the Grand Canal Theatre. Sir Ian McKellen, you're very welcome.
That's a very nice introduction. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm bearing up. This is we've been doing this pantomime now for 3 or 4 months now, often twice a day. So it's quite hard work, but I'm really enjoying it. I'm very much looking forward to being with you next week.
And listen, you're getting ready now for a matinee, so 2 shows a day. And I won't bring age into it, but I imagine Panto takes a lot of energy, does it?
It does, and perhaps a bit more than I realised. But I don't do much else, I must say, apart from doing the show. And it's not just what you do on stage, it's what you do backstage. I've got 11 costume changes, so I'm on my feet all the way through. And then I managed to get a sleep in between shows. It's hard work, but it's very rewarding. And the audiences have been so up for it that I've had a smashing time, actually.
You see, can you explain how this unexpected turn of events came about? Because I know people are thinking, is this some kind of wind-up? Ian McKellen playing Mother Goose in Panto, and we're not even in Panto season anymore.
No, I know. It's crazy, isn't it? Well, I have done Dame before. You know, that's the part in the pantomime with a man in a frock, and that was in Aladdin, Widow Twankey at the Old Vic Theatre in London, and I enjoyed that so much that when the suggestion came up that I should play Mother Goose, which is the sort of King Lear of Dames, the whole story is about Mother Goose and her desire to be something that she's not. But it was just too tempting. And then I didn't just want to do it in London for the posh West End audiences. I thought we needed cheering up all over the place. So that's when the idea of a tour came up. And in the old days, I mean, when I was a kid, pantomimes often toured and certainly played through. They probably did in Dublin from about Christmas time. They'd set up shop and then they'd go right through to Easter. And that's what we're doing this time. And it doesn't seem to matter what time of year you actually do a pantomime. It's such an enjoyable occasion that it's nothing really to do with Christmas. So it worked well, and I hope we might set a fashion for the future for touring pantomimes.
You see, people can be snobby about Panto, right? And they'll think, oh, he's slummy with John Bishop for cash doing a Panto. But I know that you think Panto is a very important and very legitimate form of theatre, don't you?
I do, because like a lot of people in Ireland and over here in the UK, the first theatre we ever see is pantomime. And I think that's true probably of Samuel Beckett and maybe James Joyce. The first theatre they saw is pantomime. And what is it in pantomime which is so engaging? It's partly that it entertains the whole family and kids find themselves laughing at the same things as their grandparents and their uncles and aunts and their siblings, all doing it together in a rather wholesome way. But what they're laughing at is jokes, but they're admiring dancing and singing and music and audience participation, soliloquy, all sorts of devices that Shakespeare used for telling a story, cross-dressing, a moral story. It's a wonderful scenery and costumes, and a high old time is had by all. And the star of the pantomime is actually, I don't think, on stage, but probably in the audience. It's the audience who are the stars. If the audience is having a good time, then the pantomime's worked. And I think we catch, if we're lucky and see a good pantomime, we catch the spirit of what theatre can do and want to see more of it, whether it's pantomime or Shakespeare or Beckett or whoever.
Yeah, you see, it probably is necessary to get the kids now into the idea of theatre and live entertainment. Like, do you worry with all the phones and the TikTok and the attention spans and everything that these kids might never go for something, you know, live? You have to sit steady in a room for a couple of hours.
of course, we're all kids, don't forget. I mean, there can be kids of all ages,
yeah.
And this pantomime is not exclusively for children. But it can get a bit ridiculous. So we often have toddlers on the front row. But the other day at the end of the show, when John Bishop was inviting the audience to sing along with him and got some kids up on stage, a mother stood up with a babe in arms and handed the baby up to John Bishop to look after. This baby was 4 months old. I mean, what a christening. In the arms of the most lovable man I've ever worked with, John Bishop, and singing along, and then handed back down to his mother as if some blessing had taken place. It was a wonderful thing. So I think that sums up pantomime.
And listen, you mentioned that John Bishop is the most lovable man you've ever worked with. Now, I've heard the ads as well, and every time you say in that ad, and I love John Bishop, you say, I feel bad for your good friend Patrick Stewart. How does he feel about you being out on tour now with John Bishop and this new bromance? Did you ask him to come?
Brendan, that's a very good question. And of course I told him I was doing it. And of course he said he'd come and see it. And he hasn't. He hasn't been to see it. And I think he may be a little bit jealous of my relationship with John Bishop. But I hope that doesn't last forever, because Patrick and I have been friends for too long. Now, John seems on stage, doesn't he? I mean, on television, he seems the most likable bloke you've ever come across. And the astonishing thing is that in his case, it's true. He's even nicer when you meet him.
Ian McKellen, you're rubbing salt into Patrick Stewart's wounds if he's listening here. I'm not surprised he didn't come, frankly. It's bad enough that you're parading around on the radio saying, I love John Bishop. And then you say to Patrick Stewart, why don't you come and watch me have a love-in with my new best friend, John Bishop?
Brendan, you are a troublemaker. And of course, Patrick Stewart isn't listening to Irish radio. He's fast asleep. He's not up yet. He's too old.
I imagine Patrick Stewart is keeping a good eye on this whole situation as it unfolds. I'd say obsessively. He probably has a Google alert for every time you pop up anywhere.
Well,
just to hear it.
Not only Patrick, my old boyfriend, I mean professionally, in Vicious, Derek Jacobi, I think, is keeping an eye on situation as well. But, you know, Mother Goose is a rather flighty girl, and she can... You can handle more than one husband, one boyfriend at a time.
Now, you mentioned that this part of the dame, right, and the great tradition of the dame, and indeed we've had some fantastic dames in Ireland down the years. And it's a particular thing. It is different to, say, drag or something, isn't it?
Well, it can be a number of things.
Okay.
I mean, I've seen dames who... blokes in frocks who think it's funny just to wear a frock. Well, that's not for me. I'm more a Les Dawson sort of dame, or even a Brendan O'Carroll, Mrs. Brown, a recognisable woman. And my script, and I've got a script, is written by Jonathan Harvey, who writes for Coronation Street. And I said, Jonathan, create a character who might appear in The Rover's Return. I want her to be a real recognisable woman. And she is. She's running an animal sanctuary. She adores her animals. She doesn't have a penny to her name. She spends it all on other people. She doesn't have a head for figures. And our poor old husband, John Bishop, has to do the books. And then one day, she's nice to a goose, and the goose lays her a golden egg, and everything changes, and suddenly she wants to be something that she's not. And that's when the story takes off. And the audience get wild with excitement as they see their beloved Mother Goose doing the wrong thing. So it's a jolly good story, and that's not true of all dames. So I try and root her in some sort of reality. But of course, I use my own voice, and I slip in and out of character in the way people do in pantomime. So often it's not just I'm not just playing. Mother Goose, I'm also playing Ian McKellen, and I'm also playing in my imagination the sidekick to John Bishop, who's been working on the music hall with him for the last 20 years, so Theatre can do that. It can be a mixture of things all at the same time.
Yeah, so it's quite meta. You're playing yourself, playing a dame, yeah.
That's right.
Listen,
that's
you're clearly having a ball. And, you know, you think about it, like, you've won the Oscars, all the awards, got the knighthood, presumably you've made a few quid now. You're obviously in the happy position of being able to do what you want now. And this is what you've decided you want to do right now, yeah?
I am, but you know, Brendan, throughout my career, I've only ever done what I wanted to do. And it served me very well. I've always wanted to get better as a performer, and I've always never wanted to repeat myself. So I'm always looking for something new. And the idea of doing a really good pantomime with a really fantastic cast, which we have, has made me very, very happy indeed. I just wish it wasn't quite so hard work. But anyway,
is it stretching the acting muscles in a different new way for you? Is it progress for you as an actor?
Oh, you'd have to come and see it to see the things I do. I mean,
that sounds tantalizing. Okay.
You didn't know I could tap dance, did you?
I certainly didn't.
Did you know you could tap dance,
Ian?
No, I don't. But Mother Goose does that best. and you get a bit of Shakespeare in this as well. Oh, we throw in everything. It's like a Christmas pudding, you know.
Yeah.
There's a sixpence in there somewhere if you can only find it, and a cherry and some raisins and lots of nuts. It's all crazy.
I think, isn't the idea with panto, though, is usually that if any of the performers have any particular skill, like card tricks or playing the spoons or whatever, it gets inculcated into the show in some way, doesn't it? So you threw in a bit of Shakespeare.
Well, that's right. And John Bishop's speciality, of course, is telling jokes, so we get a lot of those.
Yeah.
And we have a fantastic ensemble who are supporting us brilliantly, and they've just been given an award for the best ensemble in pantomime this year, so I'm very happy about that.
Fantastic. So, you know, a lot of people know you from film work. The theatre is your tribe, really, is it? Is this where you're most at home and this is where you get the real buzz, yeah?
It is. When I was growing up just after the war in the north of England, we didn't go to the pictures very much. It was live theatre, and there were three of them in the town I was living in. And I enjoyed going to the theatre so much, where my parents took me, that I wanted to find out how it was done. And that's how I started acting at school and with amateur companies. And then when I went to university, did more undergraduate acting. And then I thought, well, what job can I possibly do that will allow me to go on acting at the rate I have been doing? And that was to become a professional. It was all seems to be sort of inevitable. And it's theatre rather than film that was always my aim in view. Then, of course, once I became a professional, I began to think, why am I not in movies like Albert Finney and Tom Courtney and all the rest of them?
Yeah.
And so I eventually made it, but rather late in the day. I got into big movies. But theatre, yes, remains my first love, I think.
Yeah. Listen, is theatre like falling off a log for you now? Or do you still get nervous? Do you still need your process around it? Like, I'm conscious you're going to do a show now very shortly. Is talking to me taking you kind of out of your routine or whatever?
It is a little bit, yes. I'm aware that there's a show coming up and I can hear the audience gathering over the town. So I have to get ready for that. But I don't get nervous. I look forward to it. I'm never more at home than when I'm on the stage, and
really?
I can't remember last time that I was nervous. Of course, you want everything to go well, so you're apprehensive. You're doing your best, but you don't. No, it's all going to be all right. I know. I'm particularly.
Of course, I didn't mean to spook you there. I'll be mentioning the Scottish play next, and you'll be like, "Good God, man, stop!" So listen. You still get the excitement though every night. The drug still works for you of going on stage and the crowd and everything else. Yeah,
I love it. And if I'm not quite feeling up to it, I do a simple thing. I peep through the curtain, the side of the curtain.
Really,
I have a look. And see that there are real people there who come on buses and trains and cars and walk there and have spent money and are out to have a good time. And it's my job to give it to them.
Isn't that fantastic? Still to be doing what you love, and still to be able to go out and entertain a crowd. And you with a consumptive sounding cough. I presume that disappears as soon as you walk on stage, does it?
No, it's doing too much talking to you.
Okay. Listen, I'm taking the hint here, Sir Ian McKellen. Listen, one last thing, so, and I'll let you go and get ready. After the break, we're going to be speaking to Irish Eurovision legend Linda Martin about her new animal sanctuary. I believe you're cutting the ribbon on that next Friday, are you?
Well, she's invited me to go along, and isn't that thrilling? Because Mother Goose, in our story, runs an animal sanctuary, and so it just fits in with what I'm doing.
Okay, well, listen, I'll tell you one thing. When you meet Linda Martin, you will be meeting one of the great Irish dames, and I mean that in the classic sense of the word dame.
Lovely.
Listen, yeah. Ian McKellen, thank you so much. Yeah. And listen,
lovely to have us.
Okay, best of luck with the show, and thank you for staying with us. And Mother Goose, starring Ian McKellen and John Bishop, starts at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre on Wednesday. It must end on Sunday, the 26th of March. Tickets from £21.50 are on sale now, and for more, see bordgáisenergytheatre.ie.
Email brendan@rte.ie.